Rabbi Shira's being sponsored by Linda and Milton Frank in memory of Edith Blumenthal, Ruth Bas Yosef, Allah Shalom, Hedy and Jay Richmond in memory of Estelle Richmond, Esther Basi, Bas Naftali, Allah Shalom. The last several years we have been discussing our relationship with Gerim. Once we've decided who exactly is a Ger, it took us half the year to figure out. Once we decide who exactly is a Ger, who is a Gioras, so now how are we supposed to relate to them? So we spoke a little bit about the Yanim of Yichus in the previous Yerim. Now we move on to a very important aspect in terms of treating Gerim, in terms of the special unique obligations that we have towards Gerim, in terms of Avas Ager, and some of the prohibitions involved in causing aggravation, causing tsar to Gerim. So before we address the issue of specifically concerning a ger, the Gemara is going to tell us that there are general halachas in terms of how we're supposed to relate to regular Jews, even before a person is a ger, a regular member of Klal Yisrael. So there are a whole series of mitzvahs benam lechavero. One is a mitzvah sasei, and many of them are lo sasei. So the mitzvah sasei, which is kol, really all of our relationships benam lechavero, is the mitzvah v'yahavta l'recha kamocha. So it goes without saying that that mitzvah v'yahavta l'recha kamocha applies to a ger as well. Once he's Jewish, he's already rea. So the mitzvah v'yahavta l'recha kamocha, of course, applies to him. But in addition to the regular mitzvah of the haftar lecha kamocha, there is a mitzvah of the haftar misager. The Torah says explicitly that the haftar misager ger meisav yeretz Mitzrayim. So anytime a person has these feelings of ava, whatever that means exactly, anytime a person expresses this ava to ger, so that's a double mitzvah. That's a mitzvah of avas yisrael, and it's a mitzvah specifically avas ager. How would one go about doing this? How does one perform the mitzvah of avas ager? So the question is just push one step backwards. How do you perform the mitzvah of the Haftar Recha Kamocha? So the Rambam has a comment in Hilchas Ovel, where the Rambam takes issue with the Baal Halachas Gedolos. The Baal Halachas Gedolos wrote before the Rambam, counted off all the Tayag mitzvahs. The Gemara Makkel says that there are 613 mitzvahs, but the Gemara never tells us what they are. The Gemara never counts them up for us. So different Rishonim are different ways of coming to the same number. Everyone's got to get to the magic number 613, just different ways. So the Baal Halachas Gedolos came to one system. So the Rambam took issue with his system. So one of the issues that the Rambam took issue with is that the Baal Halachas Gedolos counts the mitzvah of Bikacholim and the mitzvah of Nichama Beilim as a separate mitzvah. Each one is a separate, distinct one of the Tayag mitzvahs. So the Rambam says that's not right. The Rambam says that all part of one mitzvah. There's one mitzvah called the Ahavta, the Recha Kamocha. There are different ways to express the Ava. You express Ava to Cholim and Ava to Avelim and Ava to Chosin Kala. There are different mitzvahs that you do, but it's all the same basic manifestation of the same mitzvah. So the Rambam had issues with the Baha'is counting in terms of these mitzvahs, but of course the Rambam understood that these mitzvahs are subsumed under the heading of the Ahavta, the Recha Kamocha. So we carry over that idea of the Ahavta, the Recha Kamocha to Ava Sager, so the same is true. That any time we're involved in any acts that we call Gemilas Chassadim. So Gemilas Chassadim to a regular Jew is a single mitzvah, and Gemilas Chassadim to a ger is a double mitzvah. It's not only the mitzvah of a ger as well. But just as the stakes are a little bit higher when we're speaking with Gerim, that it's a double mitzvah, so we find this in the realm of Averus as well, that many of the mitzvahs or the Yisurim, the Ram Lechavero, the one violates towards a regular Jew, so one violates twofold, perhaps even threefold, when one is dealing with Gerim. So that's really the topic of Asugya tonight. The first in the Ram Lechomos is the Gemara Masechet of Mitzian Daf Mentesim and Beis. So the Gemara is discussing the sugyas of Ono'ah. There are two different types of Ono'ah that appear in the Chumash and Parshas Bahar. There's what's called Ono'ah's Mammon and there's what's called Ono'ah's Devarim. Ono'ah's Mammon means cheating somebody in a business deal. The classic example of Ono'ah that appears in the Mishnayos is a person either overcharges or undercharges, whatever the case may be. Either the mocheh is being cheated or the calf is being cheated. But if I cheat somebody, I know what the going price is. The other guy has no idea what's going on. If the guy knows what the going price is, and I say to him, listen, I know that this car should sell for $10,000. I'm telling you, the going price is $10,000, but I want $15,000. So either the guy buys the car or doesn't buy the car. So that's not Ono'ah. But if I misrepresent the price to him, if I say to him that the going price for this car is $10,000, and really the car is not in such great shape, and the going price really should be $7,000, so that's an Isidir Aisa. That's called Ono'ah's Mammon, or vice versa. If the Lokeach knows something that the Meicher doesn't know, and the Meicher is not really sure what the value of the object that he's selling, and the Lokeach realizes that he's going to walk away, what we call colloquially a steal, so that's exactly what it is. It's a steal. It's Ono'ah. It's Ono'ah's Mammon, and that's an Isidir Aisa. Ono'ah's Devarim is a little bit different. Ono'ah's Devarim, as appears in Parshas Bahar, refers to the fact that I annoy somebody, that I aggravate somebody, I say things to a person that are going to cause the person tsar, so that's considered to be a violation of Ono'ah's Devarim. So comes the Gemara, Gemara of Mitzvah in the Testament days and starts out by saying to Ravonan, Hama'ana es Ager over Bishloi Shalavim. If a person is Ma'ana es Ager, a person expresses Anah to Ager, we're not sure yet which Anah we're talking about, but one of these Surah of Anah at least, or maybe both these Surah of Anah, so one is in violation of three Lavim in the Torah, Ha'alochata over Bishnayim. And if a person is lochet tesager, we're not sure what that means either, but if a person is lochet tesager, they're in violation of two isurim. So the only thing we know is that somehow things are worse for a ger. When you're dealing with a ger, you know, it's more chomer than a regular Jew. The guy with the isurim al no, it's three, and the guy with the isurim lechit, whatever that means, it's two. So the Gemara just goes through the tallying up the lavin. So ma'ishna ma'ane, how come when it comes to ono, the chsivish lo shalavin? Because it says, the ger lo sona, and then it says later on in Sefer Vayikra, the chiyog richa ger bi'atchem lo sona lo so, for lo sona ish. So whatever the Onoah is referring to, it says it three times in the Chumash, twice specifically by Gerim, and once it says Loson Ishus Amiso in general, Pashas Bahar by Jews, and a Ger is no worse than any other Jew. So there are clearly three Surim for this Isser of Onoah. Lochot on that mishlo shikshimi. So says the Gemara, when it comes to being lochit as a ger, whatever that means, it also says it three times. It says that we just spend a pashas mishpatim v'lo sulchatzenu, then it says v'ger lo sulchot, and then v'lo siyal of kenosha, v'ger b'chlalu. But the Torah says that you're not allowed to pester somebody when somebody owes you money and you know that the person doesn't have the money to pay back. So if you keep on hacking them and knocking on their door and reminding them that they owe you money, so that's an issue there, Aisha, of lo siyal of kenosha. That issue is written by all Jews, so obviously a ger is included. So it's clear from the Gemara that the Gemara is now giving us an indication as to what the issue of Lo Silchot is all about. We started off the Sugya by saying, we're not even sure what Lo Silchot means. What does it mean not to be Lochit somebody? So from the fact that the Gemara is linking the issue of Lo Silchot to the issue of Lo Sielo Kenosha, to press somebody for payment that you know they don't have, that's what Lo Silchot means. Lo Silchot means I'm putting lachat on you, I'm putting pressure on you. I know you can't pay me the bill. I know you can't pay me the rent. I know you can't pay me the whatever money that you owe me. And I keep on chepping you to pay, knowing full well that you can't pay. If I know you can't pay me and you don't want to pay me, because I have every right to chep you, I have a right to get a din Torah. But if I know Lemaisa, you're broke, I know you don't have any money, so then I should leave you alone until I find out that you have money. So that's the issue of the rights of Lochet, that's the issue of the rights of Lo Sielo Kenosha. So says the Gemara, you're right, that one who is either Ma'ana as a Yisrael violates one Isser, or a person is Lochet as a Yisrael violates one Isser. If a person is either Ma'ana as a Ger or Lochet as a Ger, he's in violation of three Yisurim. The Torah threw on two extra Yisurim. The Gemara says that's not right. So when all the dust settles from the Gemara, it's clear that these are two different Yisurim. There's the Yisur of Onoah and there's the Yisur of Lechitza. It seems pretty clear that Onoah means Onoah, the way it means in other areas of Halacha. Either Onoah's Mamon, Onoah's Devarim, and Lechitza is this unique Yisur of being Dochik somebody. So that's what Rashi says. Rashi on that Gemara, on Halacha. So Rashi says Dochiko, to apply pressure, undue pressure on somebody, that's the Yisur derice of being Lochit somebody. So if one takes a look at the Rambam, Ruchas Mechira, Perk Yedal Halacha Tezvav, you get a different impression from the Rambam. So the Rambam says, Kolam Ha'ares Ha'ge, Bein Mamam and Bein B'Dvarim over B'Shloish Alavim. So the Rambam is quoting the Gemara of Mitzvah, but the Rambam doesn't speak about the Lechitza the way Rashi does. The Rambam doesn't mention pressuring a person to pay. The Rambam speaks about two different Yisurim. He speaks about Onoah's Mamam that we said before, cheating somebody in a business deal, and he speaks about Onoah's Dvarim, saying words to somebody that are going to cause an aggravation. So the Rambam says, Shenema B'Ger Lo Sona Zo Onoah's Dvarim V'Lo Suchatel Zo Onoah's Mamam. So whereas Rashi learned that the phrase Onoah means both Onoah's Mamam and Onoah's Dvarim, and Lo Silchot refers to something totally different, to put undue pressure to pay back a loan the guy can't pay. So the Rambam ignored that issue, and the Rambam says the two issues that we're dealing with is Onoah's Mamon and Onoah's Devarim. Halam Adatos says the Rambam should go to Ma'anes Ager Oyvim B'Shlosh Elavin B'Shul Lo Son Ishus Amiso B'Shul Lo Tonu Ishus Ocham B'Shul Ger Lo Sona. So when all the dust settles, everything's also. It's just a question of how you count, and the question is what the name of the Yisurim are. But Kuli Amalei Pligid, you're not allowed to do the following to any fellow Jew, and you're not allowed to do the following Kavachemi to a Ger. So you're not allowed to cheat a guy in business, that's for sure, Nisra Deraisa. You're not allowed to You're not allowed to say things which aggravate a person, that's for sure, and this is their Isa, and you're not allowed to pressure a person to pay back a loan that you know he can't pay back. That's also in the their Isa. So those are three Surim their Isa when it comes to Jews, and Kavachayim, those Surim apply to Geirim, and even more so, they apply to Geirim. What are just some practical applications of this? So the Gemara says that some of the common examples of Onas Devarim include the following. Some of them are very unique to a ger. The Gemara says, if a person goes up to somebody and he says, that who do you think you are? You think you're such a big tzaddik, you're sitting and learning, and shtagging away, you're not being such a low shmer esrei. If I remember correctly, 5 years ago, you were a Mechal Shabbos. If I remember 5 years ago, you weren't even Jewish. So the Gemara says, if a person says that to somebody, that's going to upset the person. Forget about embarrassing the person. If you do it in front of other people, that's a separateness. That's called Mabim Pechaveh Barabim. So that's the Gemara learns out from Apostle Sisal of Chay. That's for sure, this is their eyes. It's Mabim Pechaveh Barabim. Even not Barabim, just privately. If I just inform the person, by the way, I remember that you used to be not so from. So that's what the Gemara says. That's called Zechor Masech Arishainim. And that's the Nisr their eyes of Onos Devarim. So Kal Bechayim, that applies to a ger. Madachu Yisra, where, what do you tell the guy? Okay, so Mechal Shabbos. He ain't going to say the guy was a guy. So that's going to be a tremendous Onos Devarim. So that's one classic example that Chazal gave in the fourth parak of Metziah for what constitutes Onos Devarim. Then the Gemara gives some more subtle examples of Onos Devarim, which apply both to Yisraelim as well as to Geirim. So the Gemara says that, let's say you walk into a store and you have no intention of buying anything. You just want to drive the guy crazy. You make a big joke, a practical joke. So you walk in and ask him, how much is this, and how much is that, and how much is this, and how much is that. You drain the guy a cup for an hour, and then you walk out of the store, you don't buy anything. So the Gemara says that was a violation of the Nisr Deraisa of Onos Devarim. Because you aggravated the person. You made the guy, you gave the impression you're going to buy something and you didn't. So you caused the guy undue aggravation. So that's a violation of that Torah. If you think there's a chance you may buy something, okay, you're allowed to browse, you're allowed to compare prices if you think that's what to tell us, if you think there's some truth to it. But just stop to drive the guy crazy. That would be an Isr Amid Deraisa. Then the Gemara gives another example of Onos Devarim. If a person says to somebody, when you see somebody who is never suffering, so a person comes to, you want to cheer the guy up. So you come and cheer the guy up and you say to him, listen, I'll tell you why you're suffering. You're suffering because you did this avera, you did that avera, the other avera, you better be chayzer b'tshuva. So the big tzaddik comes and tells everybody else why they're suffering. So the Gemara says, that's an issue there, right? So that's called onos devarim. To tell a person to attribute his suffering to a specific chayt, that's a terrible avera. The Gemara says in brachas that a person's supposed to make his own chesbrinus. Means if a person has never chesurim, so a person should make whatever chesbrinus with his brother shalom, whatever his chesbrinus to him and the Rebbe Shalom. But for you to superimpose your chesbrinus on Yenim, that's terrible. The Gemara says that's a violation of an Issa D'Raisa of Onos Devarim. So the Gemara, these are only examples. These are not all the examples of Onos Devarim. Anything to aggravate, but anything that annoys somebody, so that's considered to be an Issa Min HaTorah. So these Yisurim apply mainly Yisraelim and Kol Shekein, and even to a greater extent they apply to Geirim as well. The Gemara tells us in the next minute of Kamos in Maseches Bamitzia and Tesla Min Aleph, Amrav Chanina Bereidu Rav Idi, Naidich Siv Losonu Ishas Abiso. Then when the Torah uses the phrase Losonu Ishas Abiso, the Torah is describing the prohibition to cause onoah to somebody. So the Torah uses a very strange phrase Amiso. What does the term Amiso mean? So that is a specific halachic connotation. Am Sheidcha B'Torah V'Mitzvos Al Paneihu. So the Gemara says Amitcha doesn't just mean another person. Amitcha means someone who's part of your Am, someone who's behaving like part of your Am, someone who is observing Torah and Mitzvahs. So the Gemara is clear that, at least this line, the Gemara is clear, that the Yisurim of Onos, whatever the extension of these Yisurim are, so these only apply to someone who is a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. What exactly does that mean, Bizman Hazeh? So the person can say, it doesn't mean anything, Bizman Hazeh, for the following reason, clearly the Gemara is describing, the Gemara is referring to someone who's called Yatzu Bechal HaMisecha. The Gemara has such a phrase of Yatzu Bechal HaMisecha. Yatzu Bechal HaMisecha means a person who is no longer observing Torah Mitzvahs, but made it. That means he's Yatzu Bechal HaMisecha, because he used to be Bechal HaMisecha, and now he's no longer Bechal HaMisecha, now he doesn't observe the Mitzvahs. So the person is a Perish from the Torah, so that's a unique category in Halacha. Whereas if a person was never part of the Torah in the first place, the person never knew about Torah Mitzvahs, he never was raised properly, so that's not the category of the Yatzu Bechal HaMisecha. Shnecha, that's the category that the Rambam writes in Luchos Mamrim, that that's what's called a Tinok Shenishpa. The Gemara in the seventh parak of Shabbos discusses the halachic category of a Tinok Shenishpa, that means a baby that was literally taken captive by the Goyim and raised as a non-Jew. So the Gemara says that such a person is not really held responsible for what he's doing. He's a Tinok Shenishpa. He said, Anos, Anos, Achman Apatre. So the Rambam writes that that category of Tinok Shenishpa doesn't only apply to someone who is physically, forcibly taken by Goyim, but a person who is raised by Goyim, not literally by Goyim, is raised in a Goyish setting, in a Goyish mentality, a Goyish value system, and he never really heard of Torah mitzvahs. And then the Rambam writes, and even if he hears about it, but he doesn't think it relates to him, so that's not called the Yasim Uchal Misecha, that's called an Aynes, that's called the Shaygeh, that's called someone who doesn't know any better. So if Adon Abadon, the Rambam writes, because now all the mitzvahs, the Rambam, the Chavei reply in full force to such an individual. Then the Poskim also, for other reasons, the Poskim are very, very hesitant to apply this principle of Yasim Uchal Misecha Bizman Azeh, based on the following, that the Rishonim write that this only applies to someone who is amazed and someone who you try to correct. If I see somebody has Mamash Bechal Shabbos all the time and I correct him and I give him Musa and I give him Musa and somebody, the rabbi gives him, everyone gives him Musa and he still doesn't listen, so that's considered to be someone who is who's Yasim Bechal Misecha. But if no one ever corrected the person, no one ever gave him proper Musa, so that's not considered to be Yasim Bechal Misecha. So the Gemara says, Masechet Erech and Epizman Azeh, we don't know how to give Musa anymore. Nobody knows how to give. Some people like to think they know Gemara. No one really knows how to give Musa Bezman Azeh. The Gemara says, Haraya, that if somebody gets up and gives Musa, if somebody says to you, take that chip out from between your eyes, so the Gemara says the response is usually going to be, oh, thank you so much. That's not the response. The response is going to be, you take that beam out from between your eyes. Namely, that if somebody comes and corrects you, so obviously you didn't do a very good job of giving Musa, because the person responds angrily. If the person really gave the proper Musa, so it would have had a ration, would have had an effect on the person. So the Gemara says people Bizman Azeh don't really know how to give Musa. So the Chofetz Chaim quotes that Gemara and says that you see from here that everybody Bizman Azeh has the status like Kodim Tokocha. Even if somebody was corrected and was told, stop doing that aveira, stop doing this, that, and the other thing. So we assume that that wasn't really done in a proper fashion, Bizman Azeh. And therefore the person is always considered to be Kodim Tokocha. If he's Kodim Tokocha, then he's not Yatsim Mechol Misecha. So for a variety of reasons, even though this halacha is in theory on the books, the Maisa doesn't really apply for us. 99.9% of the time doesn't apply for us. So therefore, when you have any person with a mitzvah to not to violate also isha samiso, there's a mitzvah not to recha chavocha. So that applies across the board to all Jews. It doesn't make any difference whether the person is shemitah mitzvah, not shemitah mitzvah, does not azeh. We assume that everybody is included in these yisurim. One has to express the proper avos yisrael to everybody, because everybody is either a tinek shenishpa or kodem tochach, whatever the category that we're going to place them into. But in theory, in the perfect world, people wouldn't be in yotzei b'chol misecha. But in the pre-world that we're in today, so in theory there is such a klal called yotzei b'chol misecha. So the Mechas Chinuch raises the question that how would this halacha play out when it comes to a ger? What would that halacha be if you have a ger, and now the ger goes off the derech? So we learned a few months ago, that when a ger goes off the derech, he doesn't lose his geirus, he doesn't lose kedushas Yisrael. Once the person converted, once the geirus was done properly, if the geirus was done properly, so then the person is considered to be Jewish, and there's nothing in the world that could ever invalidate the geirus retroactively, unless the geirus was done wrong with chila. Okay, that's a different story. But if the geirus was done properly, there was a proper, whatever the halachic definition of kabbalah mitzvahs was at the right time, so something that the ger does next week, the guy can become the biggest rush in a week from now, and that's lamalav lemerid in terms of affecting the geirus retroactively. So comes the Mechas Chinuch and raises the following shalom. You have a person who converted, so he was a ger. We declared him to be Jewish, and then it's 10 years later he goes off the derech. He becomes mamash in Russia. In the olden days, when there were real Rishayim, and it was after Tachach and everything, so the Mechas Chinuch raises the question, do we still have a mitzvah of Yahavta to him? Do we still have Yisurim of Al-Noah's Devarim to such a person? So even though it's true that the mitzvah of Yahavta L'Recha Kamaycha V'Yisrael, or the Yisurim of Losan Ishas Amisa, were only given to Amshi in Chabatera mitzvahs, that's the generic Yisur, that's the general Yisur of Avos Yisrael. That's the general list of Anos Yisrael. But here there's a special Gzeres HaKol, so V'Yahavtem Es HaGer. Here there's a special list of a Ger Losona. So the Torah doesn't say Ger Amitcha Losona. The Torah says Ger Losona. So once the guy's a Ger, he's a Ger. He's a Ger for life. So whether he's acting appropriately or not acting appropriately, the special dirim that applies to a Ger apply to him. It doesn't matter what he is, doesn't matter how he's behaving right now. He's considered to be a Ger, once a Ger, always a Ger, and therefore one is mechir to treat him in a special way. notwithstanding the fact that the regular mitzvahs of Avos Yisrael don't apply to him. So you have a very, very strange thing, that the mitzvahs ben on the chaveret are geirim, not only are more chomer in terms of more isurim, but they're more chomer that they're more encompassing. That means they can apply to people who you may forfeit, you may lose your privileges of Avos Yisrael, but you can never lose the privileges of Avos Yisrael. Once you have a shem geir and then you're stuck, then you have the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, the Yolim Vod. So now that we know that there are unique nitzvahs that apply in our Ben Amlech of Eir relationship to Geirim, so we have to make sure we understand, we define 100% properly who is considered to be a Geir for these purposes. So it sounds like a pretty straightforward question. Who's a Geir? The guy converted. So he's a Geir. So either his Geir was good or his Geir was no good. So if his Geir was Chal, then he's a Geir. If his Geir wasn't Chal, then he's still a Goy. So it's possible that you may have an individual who converted, and the geirus may technically be good, but many of these mitzvahs, these additional dimensions of Avos HaGer, may not apply to him in the following sense. We spoke about this earlier in the year. We spoke about situations where the halacha declares that we're not really supposed to accept certain people. I mean, this guy's not really a proper candidate for geirus, but b'dieved, if we converted him, the geirus is going to be chal. So some examples that the Gemara gives us, if a person converts for ulterior motives, a person converts for shev ishus, so we're not supposed to accept someone who converts for shev ishus. The proper thing to do is to turn him away, because what do we need him for? It's converted to Ishus, he's not sincere, so he's not going to be an asset to Klal Yisrael, so we're really supposed to discourage him from converting. But Lamais, he pushed, and he pushed, and he pushed, and he got some days into doing. So the Gemara Paskins in Maseches Yevamos, that even though he converted for the wrong reasons, he converted, the Gemara says, L'shem Shulchan Malachim, he converted because the Jewish economy was better, or he converted because it was in the days of Purim, so a lot of people converted after the story of Mordechai yesterday. They wanted to be on the right team. They didn't want to be on the on Haman's team. Haman's team had lost, so they wanted to be, you always go with the champs, so they wanted to be on Mordechai's team. So they wanted such from people, these Persians who were converting. But the pasuk says, so the Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisurabiyah that they were batibinim that were converting them. They should have did it, they shouldn't have done it, but lemaisa they did it. So the Rambam writes, I think about Paskins, Hilchos that they're all considered to be geirim. But yeah, after the fact, they're all considered to be geirim. What if, in fact, they go off the derech later? So that's what the Rambam says. It doesn't matter. That since their initial geirus was chal b'diavad, although it wasn't recommended, but it was chal b'diavad, so such people are considered to be geirim. So the Rambam uses a lashon that even though such people are considered to be geirim, we wouldn't call them geir tzedek. That term that we use, a geir tzedek, that's a very, very unique term that we use. So what does geir tzedek mean? So we usually think geir tzedek doesn't really mean anything halacha, either you're a geir or not a geir. What does the term geir tzedek mean? So some achrayim say, but the Rambam means as follows, that a person can be a geir without being a geir tzedek. A geir tzedek means a sincere convert, means someone who is a truthful convert, who's really, really converting for the proper reason. That's the halacha status of a geir tzedek. Someone who's geir was able to kind of sneak under the radar, that b'dieved we accepted, alright, it was a shvacha reason, but at the end of the day there was kabbalah mitzvahs. At the end of the day we looked the other way and we said, alright, he's Jewish. Like the Rambam gives the examples of Shimshon's wives and Shlomo Melech's wives, people who didn't really have the proper intent. And Haraya, the Rambam writes, they taka went off the derech later on, so they really were not very positive influences on Klal Yisrael. But lemaisa b'dieved the geirus was chal, because at the time that the geirus was done, there was still the bare minimum of the geirus was met, that it was a mila, tefila, kabbalah, mitzvahs, so whatever, it wasn't done for the proper reasons, but lemaisa said the bare minimum of geirus was met, assuming that the bare minimum was met. And we'll leave that out for now, but assuming that the bare minimum of geirus was met, so that even though the motives weren't proper, the geirus was still going to be chal. So some achrayim write, but you can't call these people geirus tzedek, you can't call these people great, tremendous personalities that we should emulate. So what does that mean, that they're not geirus tzedek? So perhaps what the Rambam is drawing at, Rambam doesn't say the feirish, but perhaps what the Rambam is assuming is that all these extra special precautions for geirim, you have to be super duper bend over backwards nice to geirim, maybe that applies to geirim tzedek, maybe that applies to people who we were supposed to convert in the first place, people who kind of snuck into Klal Yisrael, really should like to be, really should be here in the first place. So perhaps they're still Jewish, so there's no question, we can't be mean to them, we have to still have an obvious role to them, they're still Jewish, we still can't say not nice things to them, because they're still an Ishav on Oz Devar, they're no worse than any other Jew, but the special added dimension, the special precautions of Geir Tzedek maybe don't apply to them. Perhaps one could argue that according to the Rambam. one could perhaps argue for a get. One could maybe suggest the exact opposite should be true. Maybe we should argue that in a certain sense, these Yisurim are even more apropos for a person who is not such an IAI great care tzedek for the following reason. The Gemara raises the question, why is it that the Torah is so machmir on geirim? Why is the Torah given so many different places that says you have to be nice to the geirim, and you have to be nice to the geirim, and you can't beat up in the geirim, you can't aggravate the geirim? Why is that? So the Gemara says, because if we're not going to be nice to the geirim, they're going to go become goyim again. They're going to go leave. It's going to be very easy for them to walk out. And that's the last thing we want them to do, is to become obdei avodah zara again. So all of these yisurim and all these extra mitzvahs, but not because the guy is such a great tzaddik. The opposite is true. If he was a big tzaddik, if we wouldn't be suspicious that he's going to leave the fold, we'd be just as nice to him, or just not as nice to him as we are to anybody else. The reason why we're giving him extra special treatment is dafka because he's not such a big tzaddik. Dafka because we're afraid that if we're not extra specially careful, then he may end up leaving Klal Yisrael. So if that's the case, that's the whole nature of these extra precautions that the Torah is putting on us in terms of dealing with Geirim, so then Fakir, the opposite conclusion should be true. That if the guy's a Geir Tzedek, we have to be nice to him. He's not such a Geir Tzedek. If his motives weren't so great, then he's at a higher risk of leaving the fold. So Fakir, we should be extra specially careful to the person who is Megadish and Ishos. The last thing we want to do is to take him off. The last thing we want to do is to get him upset, because he's going to even run to leave Klai Yisrael even faster than the regular Geir Tzedek. So you can hear as far as the Kan Lakans. On the one hand, maybe you could say that all these special additional Yisurim and additional mitzvahs, dafka, were limited to the Geir Tzedek, to the really, really genuine sincere Geirim, and they don't apply to the Shvacha Geirim. But you say no, that they apply to all Geirim, Fakir, they even in a sense more apply to the Shvacha Geirim, because we want to make sure that they don't go back off the Derech. So at least we have some insight as to what the definition of a Geir is. But one has to take it even one step further. The status of being a ger is nafkaminas ladina, not just in the realm of these yisurim, but it has primary nafkaminas in terms of the realm of yichos. Well, we spoke a little bit about this in previous yirim. One of the halachas of yichos, that a ger is different from a regular Jew, relates to the issue of mamzerus. The halach is that a mamzer is obviously not allowed to marry to a regular Jewish family. You have them all, the mamzer b'kal Hashem. But one of the exceptions to a mamzer is permitted to marry, a mamzer is permitted to marry a gioris, or a mamzeris is permitted to marry a ger. It's a mechikas atadoim. We passing that it's permissible. And the reason why it's permissible, we have a special drasha, you have a mamzer b'kal Hashem, kahal gerim l'mikrei kol. That the special, unique title of kahal Hashem is limited to born Jews. And therefore, it would be mutter lechatchila, we passed in both midiraita and midirabanan, for ger to marry mamzeris and vice versa. Although it's permissible, it'll be a little bit tricky, because the child's going to be, next generation will also be a mamzer. So you don't lose the stigma of mamzerus by marrying the GRS, but the nice, it's mutter for you to do it. So the ger marries a mamzerus, and the next child, next generation, is also going to be a mamzer, so we have to keep on marrying it to gerim. So we didn't solve the problem, we just pushed the problem down to the next generation. So comes the Shulchan Aruch in Evan Ezer in Hukos Pir Verivian, Simen Dalal, Sif Chof Beis, comes to Shulchan Aruch and quotes this Allah from the end of Masechet Kedushin. Ger of Evan Meshuchah, and Evan Meshuchah is always the same as a Ger, means he's an Evan Kenani, was freed. Mutarim b'mamzeres, v'chimamzeh mutar b'gyeres v'meshuchahres, v'shum t'kal geyem l'krekol, v'avlad mamzeh, but the result is the child is going to be a mamzeh. Ve'afilu ha'isa ha'rasav le'dasa b'kedusha, k'gon say, aviv ger v'nasa gyeres, even if you have a child whose conception was already the Kedusha, that means his parents are both Jewish when he was conceived, and he was born to two Jewish parents, he can still sometimes be called a Ger. How is that? If a Ger marries a Gioras, that child is still called a Ger for these purposes. And if a Ger marries a Gioras, and they have a child 20 years after they're a Megayer, they have a child who's born Jewish, the kid has no Shaychas to Goyish, it doesn't matter, that child is mutter lechatchila to marry mamzeres, because apidin is called a ger, because since both of his parents are gerim, so he apidin is considered to be a ger as well. He's not a kal Hashem, and he's mutter to marry mamzeres. The dafka adas aradiris, while mekan the elch osur, shepanish takev imenu shem gerus v'yavol lom yisrael osur mamzeres. But midrabon, at least according to many rishonim, midrabon, and after 10 generations, like a throwback to the pasuk chumash ador asiri, after 10 generations, so then midrabon, you're not allowed to do this, even though minat Torah in theory, if ger marries gioris and child is a ger. So that ger marries another ger's child is a ger. That, they keep on doing it. The ger and the ger's stay on the same island. They never intermarry with anybody else. And then, technically speaking, 1,000 years later, those children can. No one remembers that they're a ger anymore. Those children are permitted to marry mamzerim. That's minat Torah. In the Rabbanim, we wouldn't want that to happen because no one's going to remember that these people are ger anymore. So people are going to think these are regular Jews marrying mamzerim, and that's a problem. But again, that's a technical problem in the Rabbanim. But minat Torah, as long as both parents are gerim, the person is considered to be a ger lechol dida yichos vis-a-vis mamzerim. So the Mechaz Chinuch raises a question, mitzvah Tov Lamed Aleph, and then the other mitzvah, Malach Nasa Ger, he raises the question, how do we define gerim for the purposes of these additional mitzvahs of Avos Ager and Onos Ager? So would you carry over the same definition? Let's say a person, a ger marries a gerah, so the child is a ger, a pialochet, the child can marry a mamzer, and that child marries another gerah, and then they keep on going. This is 1,000 years later, but technically speaking, that child is still a ger for the purposes of uchus mamzerus. So we just say such a person is still a ger for the purposes of mitzvahs avas a ger, for the purposes of losodu ishus amisa, losodu is a ger. So the Mechaz Chinuch says, on the one hand, you can say, yeah, a pidin is a ger, it's a gavra, it's a brisket, it's a gavra, it's a ger, he's still called a ger, and he's still called the ger, I love Nemar, the haftim is a ger, I love Nemar, ger lo suchot, there's a special unique yisur, a special unique mitzvah, how to treat such a person. Since a pidin, he's still called a ger. And then the Mechaz Chinuch says, no, what are you talking about? He says, the whole reason why the Torah gave us these mitzvahs of Avos Ager, why we have to bend over backwards to be extra special and nice to the Gerim, is because the guy's not really part of Klal Yisrael. He's a stranger, he's a foreigner. Gerim Yisim Be'eretz Mitzrayim, because you want to be extra special and nice to him. He's a foreigner. He's 15th generation already. He doesn't even know he's a ger. His great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, his great-great-great-grandmother converted. He's been around already. He's part of Klal Yisrael for the last 1,000 years. So even though it's true in terms of pure gavra and hukos yichos, he's still considered to be a ger. But the whole reason for the mitzvah to haftim as a ger, to be extra special and nice, it doesn't make any sense. So how can you label this guy as a ger? So the Mechaz Chinuch pulls back and forth and back and forth. He says, when Elo Dashir time to crow, he's lamais, he's called a ger. As Al Pidin, if the Torah says he's called a ger, he's called a ger. It's 1,000 years since he converted, so what? He's still considered to be a ger. So Mechaz Chinuch has noted that way, that would in fact be the halach. So go upon him, this din of Avos Ager, who's considered to be a ger for these purposes, so perhaps there are differences between Geri Tzedek and non-Geri Tzedek. Perhaps there are differences between first generation and subsequent generations. But Kuli Amalek Pligi, that the real mitzvah of Avos Haftimus Ager, or the Yisurim of mistreating Gerim, everyone agrees only applies to someone of Ma'is who converted. Either he converted, his parents converted, grandparents, somebody. We're talking about real Gerim. We're not just talking about regular Jews. We're talking about real bona fide halachic Gerim who are included in these mitzvahs and these Yisurim. Nevertheless, the Sefer Chinuch adds to this mitzvah a dimension that isn't really part of Hukhas Geiris proper, but the Sefer Chinuch in Mitzvah Toslam and Aleph adds the following, Mitzvah Avos Ager. V'yesh lo lumud in a mitzvah yekara hazos. Says the Sefer Chinuch, we can learn something from this mitzvah. Sefer Chinuch not only wrote a Sefer Aloch, he wrote, Sefer Chinuch has really two parts to it. It has a little bit of a digest of some of the basic halachas of each and give the mitzvah. And then there's also a little bit of a reason, a little bit of a musr, a little bit of a shkafa behind the different mitzvahs. The reason why the Sefer Chinuch wrote this Sefer, we don't know who the Sefer Chinuch was. We don't know who the Mechaber of the Sefer was. For many years they thought it was the Ra'ah, it was Rabban Halevi, it was the Rebbe of the Ritva, and then later people assumed that it probably wasn't correct. So we're not sure exactly who wrote it. It was written sometime in the Middle Ages, it was written by somebody around that period of the Ra'ah, the Ritva, the Rash, for that period of time, but we don't know exactly who wrote it. But we do know why he wrote it, because he writes in the Hakdamah to the Sefer Chinuch that he wrote the Sefer for the following reason, that he had a teenage son, and his teenage son's kids used to come over on Shabbos afternoon, and they used to drain around and waste time all day on Shabbos. Sounds familiar, you know, when I have teenager kids. So they play Monopoly on Shabbos, they play Hakadon, whatever, just think what my kids do. They play whatever they would do on Shabbos, nothing very overly productive. So the Sefer Chinuch felt very bad that the kids would just stop wasting away. So again, he started the first, prayer groups, first owner groups, everybody thought. So he decided to write a Sefer for them. So that's a good, imagine if I would tell my kids, I'll write you a Sefer. How about they should read it? So he wrote them a Sefer. So he wrote a Sefer, and the Sefer was according to the Parshas HaShavua. So he figured every week they'll learn something related to the Parsha. What they do in Brachos, it's all the same for Brachos, I don't know what they do. But starting from Parshas Bo, so that every week they had something to learn that was related to the Parshas Shavua. That's how the Sefer Chinuch came about. I was just told just this past week, I don't remember hearing the story, but he told me how the Minchas Chinuch, that we have Minchas Chinuch, which is supposed to be, quote, the Perish, wasn't really Perish on the Chinuch. The Minchas Chinuch just wanted to write Shtetl Torah, so it was a good thing to tack it onto the Sefer Chinuch. But apparently the Minchas Chinuch had written much, much more than the what we have. He had written Perushim and Shas, and he had written all kinds of Chiddushei Torah, books and books of Chiddushei Torah, and there was a whole Shichsuch that he had, so he stole the Chiddushei Torah that he had, and he had nothing left. All he had, he writes, I don't know, he wrote somewhere that all he's publishing is a little shirayim of what he has a note here, or here, a shtickle Torah here, but 99% of his real shtickle Torah is gone already, so he says, all right, at least I'll have something to publish, so he published Minchas Chinuch. This was like, we have today, Minchas Chinuch was an afterthought, everything else was stolen, this is the couple of pages that he had left in the drawer, anyway, just to give you some idea of what's going on. So come to Sefer Chinuch and says, Yesh Tana Lumo, and a mitzvah yekar hazos, that we learn from this beautiful dear mitzvah of Avos Hagir, l'rachim al adam shu be'ir she'ena eretz molarito. So says the Sefer Chinuch, you can have a quote-unquote ger, who's not a halachic ger, he's a foreigner, he's a stranger. He's a guy comes into shul, and he doesn't daven in the shul. A guy moves into town, he doesn't know anybody. So says the Sefer Chinuch, that's what the mitzvah is. Including this mitzvah is a guy who doesn't come from here, mokom mishpachas avoysev, he doesn't have a family here, to know navir alav aderech b'matzanos ha'yechidi, that the guy needs help. He doesn't have a support system. So he says that just as the Torah tells us that you have to be good to the Gerim, why do you have to be good to the Gerim? The answer is poshut. Because the Gerim doesn't have anybody. Who's going to take care of the Gerim if not us? So you see from here that mitzvah applies to anyone who's a foreigner. Anyone who's a new kid comes into the class in school, you have to be extra specially nice to him. There's a special mitzvah of quote-unquote the Haftimus, I guess.
Why wouldn't that mitzvah go
to the Haftarach? Yeah, so he says that's also true. But the fact that the Torah goes out of its way to give us the mitzvah of Avashagir, that's to instill within us this understanding that when you see someone who doesn't have a support system, you have to be extra specially careful. And there's a sense of double mitzvah to this. So the Mechaz Chinuch writes on this Sefer Chinuch, he writes, don't think the Sefer Chinuch really meant that the mitzvah of Avashagir applies to the guy who's not a member of the shul. That's not Avashagir. The Avashagir is a technical halachic mitzvah. It only applies to someone who's technically a ger. What the Sefer Chinuch was trying to tell you was that there's a musa behind the mitzvah, there's a machshava behind the mitzvah, there's a lesson that the Torah is trying to teach us, and the lesson is extra sensitivity to those people who don't have people to help them out. So the Sefer Chinuch didn't mean that the derech halacha. Mechaz Chinuch writes about the Sefer Chinuch. He writes that he meant it b'derech musa, lo b'derech halacha. That means you have to do it. It doesn't mean that it's the absolute the mitzvah itself. But clearly what the Ratzon HaTorah is, it's clear it's an important message for us to walk away with. It's the Moshe Lomad of Adam, when I saw this Minchas Chinuch commenting on the Sefer Chinuch, so it reminded me of another Sefer Chinuch. Sefer Chinuch writes on the mitzvah of when you have an Eved Ivri, so when the Eved Ivri leaves, so there's a mitzvah of Ha'anik Ta'anik Lo. You have to be Ma'anik him. You have to give him gifts and give him stuff to be able to spot out on his own. So Sefer Chinuch writes that what's the luck of a person as a worker? Not an Eved Ivri. Stop me as a worker. The guy's been working for him for a while, and for whatever reason, he can't work for him anymore. So the Sefer Chinuch writes, you gotta give him a package when he leaves. You gotta be nice to him when he leaves. You gotta give him an extra bonus when he leaves. You can't just stop letting him leave and walk into the street. So the Sefer Chinuch says, you learn that out in the midst of Hanik Tanik Lo. Hanik Tanik Lo, let's talk about an Eved Ivri. Eved Ivri is a very specific category in Halacha. I'm not talking about a regular guy who's working for 3 years for me. So says the Sefer Chinuch, right, that the technical mitzvah of Hanik Tanik Lo only applies to an Eved Ivri. That mitzvah doesn't apply to an Eved Ivri anymore. But Afal Bichin, Musa Yesh Bedover, Machshava Yesh Bedover, that if the Torah gave us the mitzvah of Hanik Tanik Lo, what the Torah is telling us is that you have to be extra specially careful, extra sensitive. A guy is now going back into the workforce. Why does the Torah say Hanik Tanik Lo to this Eved Ivri? Because for the last 6 years, so he's been working for you for the last 30 years, since last year he's been working for you. Now he's going to go out on his own. You got to be extra specially careful to him. He's been nice to you. He's been good to you. Hakaras HaTov indicates, give him an extra push, give him an extra bonus, an extra boost. He can get back on his own 2 feet. So says the Sefer Chinuch, we can derive from here, as the Mechaz Chinuch says over here, le-musav le-halacha, that the same is true when you have a worker. So he's not an official Eved Ivri, okay? So the real mitzvah of Anik Lo doesn't apply. But the Musav Shabbat, Vada applies. So this is an important insight in mitzvah Ram L'Chavero, that sometimes you have a very specific category of mitzvah Ram L'Chavero that may not apply. All the details, all the nuances doesn't apply. So, okay, that doesn't mean that the Torah doesn't want you to do it. It doesn't mean the Torah doesn't want you to carry, to extrapolate to take the lesson and to apply it to real life situations here as well. So this mitzvah, the Haftamas Ager, is the Sefer Chinuch writes, it's a mitzvah Yikari, that this special dear mitzvah has the ability to teach us not just how to deal with Geirim, how we define Lach Geirim for these purposes, but it teaches us a little bit about how we're supposed to relate to other members of Klai Yisrael who find themselves in somewhat difficult situations similar to the situations that Geirim tend to find themselves.